Welcome to Binary Jazz, a podcast that you are listening to.
I thought you were just going to stop right there, podcast. And, like, let it sit for a minute.
Yeah. This is a podcast where people, human beings on the internet, Binary Gary, who's Gary in real life, Jazz Sequence, who is Chris in real life, and Allison Plus, who is Allison in real life, and we have this thing that we do. It's been a couple weeks, so we don't know how to do it anymore. But typically what happens is there's a topic, and Gary and I try to pretend like we know something about the topic, and then inevitably find out that we know nothing about anything. And that's what we do here. Gary, you're shaking your head.
I was going to say I don't remember what I was going to object to. A big chunk of what you just said.
Anything
immaterial.
Yeah.
Immaterial. How are you all?
I am here.
I'm here. I wouldn't define myself as great.
Yeah.
Null. I'm null.
Yeah. The hellscape just feels a little more intense as we like turn the corner into the summer, you know? Like,
yeah.
I just think that's what it is. Well, that was uplifting, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
If you wanted Gary to come to your party, yeah. Feel free to extend
Gary's hiring himself out as a clown. Just a very sad clown. The saddest clown. He's going to talk about the end of humanity. Yeah.
Why can't I? Everyone else is. They're just not saying it, right? You know? Like, Let's put it all together like Legos, and like what's actually happening is not the best. It's not great.
I have one client who is very pleasant and always asks me like how things are and everything. And I was just having a really like a day, and I was just like really tired of the bullshit and just was like, yeah, I'm not doing too great, but you know, the world is on fire and like, we're still going to do this project. So like, let's get into it or like whatever it was. And she was just like, okay.
And I was just like,
fantastic. She was just like, fantastic. You know, it's kind of refreshing. And I was just like, it shouldn't be refreshing to like put ointment on something that where you burned yourself.
Yeah.
Refreshing.
Refreshing is that's, like lemonade and like
yeah, that's a bit too glass half full mentality from where I sit. Yeah.
We did not get the house that we put an offer on this weekend.
That's oh, two. Man.
We're 0 for 2.
Okay.
That's fine.
That's all right.
Yeah. There's you more know, there's more houses in the sea.
Not yet, but there will desert? Be. Give it a few years, so and that's for sure. Yep.
There's in the course of this process of looking for a house, I have become aware of a Twitter account, and I believe they're on Facebook and probably other things as well, called Zillow Gone Wild.
Oh.
And if you do not follow yes. Zillow Gone Wild, you definitely should. And if you go scroll back, I mean, they have amazing things. But if you scroll back through their feed a bit, there's a video that they found somewhere of a house that is literally in the ocean. And the ocean is coming up to the house and is knocking over the stilts that is supporting the house.
Oh,
and then the
I
house
saw that.
Starts floating away a little bit. Yeah, and sinking. So there are houses in the sea, I guess.
You're keeping it in perspective. You're like, yeah. I know we're landlocked.
Yeah. But... our house will probably not be physically in the sea.
When I'm curious, the area I grew up in, the first house I remember, which was actually the second house. No, I guess the second house I lived in. So it's probably the second house I remember because I vaguely remember the first house. We were near the Gulf of Mexico and we were, you know, sea level. I mean, basically sea level. We were like a half mile from the Gulf, possibly. Not that we had like direct access to the beach. If you went to the end of that road in half a mile, you had to cross the private property to get there. So you couldn't do that. The beach was miles away. Short story boring. Like you know, whenever tropical storms blew through, we had flooding like right up to the door.
Nice.
And I wonder now what that's like. Like, is that house flood now?
Well, I can offer up my perspective of someone who grew up like sea level, where it's like high tide, the waves flood the garage, sea level, and that it's not getting better. It's getting much worse with every tide. But I don't know. The global warming, whatever, right?
There's far bigger problems than global warming to worry about.
There's so many problems.
Oh, certainly.
I just wish we could prioritize one of them.
Just pick one.
Just one. Let's just one. Give it our all and see what.
Yeah, it's not even the fast, cheap, and good like quadrant where you pick two. It's like just pick one. One.
Yeah.
Here's
some fun news. Here's some fun news. This morning on my walk. I mean, it's not really news. I'm really overselling this. On my walk, I came back this morning. I'm really overselling it. Wait till I get to this. I turned the corner and like, you know, the sun was, it was up. It was 7 o'clock, 7:19. And, you know, the squirrels are very much uncovering everything they stored away. And so they're all over the place right now. So there was one, you know, kind of like jogging towards me down the street a little bit. And then another one ran out in the street and it was white with a black tail. And I'm like, what the hell is that animal? And it was a white squirrel, which is, have I talked about the white squirrels before in North Carolina? Oh, this is actually a fun story. Many moons ago, up the mountain in the city, Asheville, there was a traveling circus that came through that had white squirrels. And they were trying to keep this like male and female white squirrel family alive, and they just wouldn't breed in captivity. And so they left them, the circus left these squirrels when they went to the next town. In the wild, and these squirrels have now spread. So in western parts of North Carolina, you see all sorts of white squirrels. They're not albino, mind you. They're white.
That's startling.
The first time I saw one, I'm like, what the hell? And then I Googled it, and now I'm seeing more and more here and there.
White squirrels, I guess the white is a recessive. Brevard, North Carolina are considered rare.
Hmm. Yeah, and they are all, so from Brevard, well, let's see, how far is it from Brevard? It's okay, we'll cut that in post. How far is it from Brevard to sure Concord? Brevard to Concord. It's like a 3-hour drive, 2:45. 3 hours the way I drive these days.
They're cute. Sort of. I mean, it's a squirrel. You were saying something, Allison, before we get...
Oh, I have no idea.
Excellent.
Probably trying to come up with a topic that wasn't doom and gloom. But I didn't come up with
anything. I was going to say, how's that going?
No. Yeah, that fits. That fits. Let's do it.
Do what?
Just add it to the pile.
The topic.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean...
I don't have a topic either. Gary's. What do we do?
I have a topic, but it's neither here nor there.
That's fine. We can transition into that topic.
Can I say it out loud? Who knows? Because I read it in a book.
Oh, that's the fair. Best kind. That's awesome.
What's the word for that? What's the word for only having seen a word in a book and pronouncing it wrong because you've only ever seen it in a book?
Oh. That's like basically the story of my childhood, reading any fantasy or sci-fi and not having anyone to talk to about it.
I love when my kids mispronounce words that they've read. Just like, and like nowadays, like the words are becoming larger, bigger. Do words get larger or bigger? Longer. That's what they are.
Larger, bigger.
Grandiose. Yeah. And it's great. Like it just puts a smile on my face.
Well, my word is interregnum.
Interregnum.
Oh, I swear we had this.
And we might have. I don't know.
Is that two R's?
2 R's. Egg them. Have we? And I just forgot it.
I mean, if we have, I think I've probably forgotten what it is. So it doesn't really. It's a.
Oh, this is great. Anyway. Then I can just go back into our old archives and just be like.
Control C, Control V.
I mean, I can confirm if we've had it.
I don't think we've had this.
We've had it now. It says season 4.
What?
Well, because it already did the autosave. So now it's in the post list. I did a search in our post list.
Well, all right. I see. We have not had it then. This is a brand new word.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a brand new word that was just created for the purpose of the show. It is a brand new word. Chris knows what it means. So actually, it's just a brand new word.
I don't, though. I know that I knew what it meant at one point in time. Because really? I know that I came across it at some point.
That's but basically my story is that I'm like, what's this when I came across it? And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Is it interregnum sounds like a science-ish word.
Sounds
like, but it also sounds like a little what?
Sounds that way, doesn't it?
It's a little sleight of hand.
I don't think that it is. I think it's a linguistic thing, but go on.
Yeah, okay. Sleight of hand as well. This is one of the science words where you hear it and you're like, wow, that's that would be what kind of a snail? What kind of animal is a snail? Whatever a snail is.
It's an interregnum.
No, but the interregnum is actually like the snail trail stuff.
The juice. Oh, the interregnum is the slime it leaves behind.
Yeah. Slime. That's a better word than juice. Snail juice. Jesus.
We have so.
I should start calling myself that when I sing at nursing home. Snail juice.
It rains here a lot, and there are tons and tons of snails that come out with the moisture. And if you're going down our front path, it's just you have to dodge so many snails, and there's little itty tiny baby snails. It's just such a danger zone that I hate going down the front path because I'm like, I don't want to, I'm just like treading so carefully and trying not to hear a crunch. And like,
oh yeah,
I know. Yeah. I stepped on one accidentally the other day and I burst into tears.
We would have, I don't remember. It was like summer, June or July. We would have, there was like this week where grasshoppers would like reproduce like crazy. And so you would open the door and like they liked the sidewalk, I guess, because it was warmer. But so as you walked out, it was like the sidewalk was like, it was like something out of sci-fi, that these things like jumping out of your way and you had to move slowly so you didn't squash them. And they were big suckers too. And hundreds
if
of them.
Snails could jump. I would probably be less sympathetic.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Snails to it would also be horrifying. Though.
I mean, if a snail jumped, I would be like,
moving. I'm moving.
Yeah. Yeah. So Chris?
Interregnum.
It's a seasoning.
You put some cardamom, put some cumin, and some interregnum goes in there too.
Yeah.
No, interregnum. It is a word that you put in between things.
Oh, is it like a delaying word?
Like
a filler word when you write essays to make your essay longer?
Yeah, sure.
Sprinkle some interregnum in that.
Yeah, it's just if you have enough, if you put enough interregnum, there's actually a ratio, it's the interregnum to interregnum word ratio. And if you have too many interregnums and your interregnum word ratio is too unbalanced, then basically your essay just doesn't say anything at all. It becomes a
filibuster.
Yeah, it just becomes just like just mindless yammering about nothing. Yeah. I like the connection to filibuster. I think that's pretty fitting. Yes, it's like a filibuster. Just filling in space.
Saturday night, Rhonda and I went on a double date with some folks. For the first time in, I mean, years, like obviously years because of the pandemic, but also years just because like often it was like when someone had a chance to watch the kids, it was just like, oh my God, we just want quiet. And so.
Yeah, like why do you don't even want to go anywhere?
You're just like. Just go sit in the fan, turn the AC on, no music, air conditioner. That's it.
The most introverted date ever is just like kids are gone. You just turn all the sound off and just sit and listen to silence and just do nothing.
I got the best compliment as an introvert the other day. They said talking with you is like being by myself, but better.
Oh.
And I was like,
oh, that is so lovely.
I don't even think they meant it as a compliment, but I was like, I'm taking it as
much. No, that. I think you should. I think that's one you jot down or like save in a file somewhere. That's a string of words right there.
It's like
that's hearing something like that actually in the midst of the doom and gloom of the world, like hearing something like that, the creativity and beauty in like that idea and just how like easy it is to understand that description. In that sentence is I think excites me about humans.
Well, you can bring that one out on your next introvert date.
So yes, tell us about your double date. I don't know that I've ever actually been on a double date.
I mean, we weren't like swinging or anything like that. It was just,
I
like...
realized that I wasn't wow, asking Gary, if you were swinging. That's a whole other thing.
Double date usually just means double date. If we thought you were swinging, you would have said,
I've never been swinging.
Double date I guess does I'm just bring surprised up, like, did you go to a diner or like a something?
We
like
went, yeah, we went to Charlotte. We went to a restaurant that's in an old house from like the late 1800s. And
I thought you were going to say the late 80s for some reason. I was going to be
like, no. Old house. it was just like just a really nice experience to be. The weather was perfect. It wasn't humid. We had the option to eat outside, but one of the folks we were with is a realtor. So we're like, well, he wants to be inside because like in the beauty of the house. So we went inside and it was perfectly wonderful inside. And shared wine and food and just like laughed for a few hours. And I was going to relate it to something about filibuster, but I forgot what it was now. That was why I brought it up. So we've effectively filibustered. Though. It was so good.
Was the food
it was
good?
Like the food was great. Yes. Yes. I don't even know what I mean, I guess it was like Spanish. I don't know. Well, it was like this thing. So we came in and, you know, we had been chatting in the van and I opted to drive because everyone else is like out of the house frequently. And I'm like, I like leave the house once a week, whether I need to or not. You know, like I try to go to the grocery store to, you know, just otherwise, like, I walk, but I mean, I don't like drive anywhere, you know? I'm like, I'll drive. I don't care. Which naturally meant like in downtown, I got lost and a little bit and everyone's like do you want us to look? I'm like, nah, it's fine. I'll find a parking space close to the restaurant. It's fine, we got plenty of time. Like I don't mind being lost. We'll figure it out. It's like a safe area to be lost in, so who cares? And it was I don't know, it was just this like little I don't even know what I would call it, but like just this like space and time where it was like all the crap. Now, of course, we talked about how terrible the world is, so maybe this doesn't apply, but like all the crap of the world did seem like external. You know, we were observers in it. We weren't living it, at least at that moment.
That's nice.
So
That break in the horribleness of the world.
The interregnum?
Is an interregnum.
Damn, I started to say that word and thought for a second. I hope that's the right word. I hope I didn't like twist it up in my head.
I mean, how often do you say it?
Oh, I doubted myself so much that I thought maybe it was like I had like added or removed a syllable as I was saying it. So I don't have it on a screen.
I'm trying to think of an alternate way to say it.
Yeah. Terignum?
No. Yeah. I mean, the last, like, maybe it's like a soft G, but.
In Terignum?
Ooh, yeah. Fancy.
Yeah. That would do it. That would do it.
I've been writing a lot of D&D rules. I've had to, so my players finished, we were playing through this campaign Wild Beyond the Witchlight, which takes place in the Feywild, and they finished. And then the thing that they did after that was I had introduced this big evil character, monster thing that was like a sort of starter monster to kind of get the thing in, but we sort of like sidetracked that because we detoured. And they beat that guy. So then I was like, okay, well, I need to, you know, do some more prep now, because like knock down these two goalposts real in quick succession, and I have a larger arc. But one of those things I needed to do, or one of the things I wanted to do, was introduce a mechanic to handle stress, because you know the world isn't stressful enough. We need to introduce it into our role playing games. But the it's based on another game, Call of Cthulhu, which has sanity checks, because it's Cthulhu mythos, and so you're encountering these great old ones that defy reality and understanding, and when you encounter anything, any of these creatures or anything relating to them, it sends you a little kind of, you know, off into in sort of breaks your brain a little bit, I'll say. But obviously, you know, referencing it as a sanity check and having it as a mechanic, a sanity mechanic, is kind of, you know, not super great. It's one of my sort of problems with Call of Cthulhu as a system. I like the mechanic. I think the mechanic works. I think the mechanic is interesting. I just don't like what it's called. So I created a system called Stress. For D&D, which is based on the same sort of thing. So in the same way that Call of Cthulhu says, okay, you lose 3 points of sanity because of this failure, and you're now, you know, more susceptible to, you know, losing, going into like a dissociative state or something. In the stress system, you gain stress. You gain a point of stress, and that will have its own repercussion. So it has sort of it has both of a verbal linguistic component. It can be described in a session in a way that makes sense, like naturally, linguistically, and also has a mechanical effect where it applies to like how the dice are rolled and stuff.
Backing up to the concept of sanity check, is it, mm-hmm. I've never been familiar with that as a, like, related to like a meter, like mm-hmm. removing sanity. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, of course that's part of gameplay. But often I find that in my job, I want someone to double check my work, and the language mm-hmm. I fall into is sanity mm-hmm. check. What do you have a good alternative you use?
Yes. I mean, no.
Okay.
But yes, the alternative that I have basically, the alternatives to saying sanity check when you're checking your work is to be specific about the type of check you need. So if it is like, if you're trying to validate, you know, that X equals Y, yeah. then I need to validate X equals Y, you know, instead of saying, can you look at this and I need to sanity check my work or whatever, you say, can you look at this? Yes. I need to make sure, you know, whatever.
We should probably make sure someone double checks Carrie's conditionals, because.
Ask for extra eyes on things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm working a task right now that is I'm taking to like the total extreme, and it's just fantastic. in course of WordPress, right, we have WP query, and you can pass an array of arguments. Problem with passing an array is it's very easy to make typos in keys, and then suddenly, if it's not tested, you have like, oh, look at that bug that snuck through because, you know.
Are you going to describe abstracting keys in such a way that the keys are passed in and they're not, and they're like,
no, I'm going to talk about the builder pattern. I'm building, making a query builder. The problem with the query builder is that So every key then becomes a property. So you have autocomplete in your IDE. Secondarily, then you just make it arrayable, and then you can pass it through, grab all the properties and create an associative array, and then array filter, drop all the null, and there's your argument. However, here's where it gets crazy. The description on
here's
.org,
where it gets wild.
Here's where it gets here, buckle up. And so on .org, when you look at WP query, it's broken into segments like author or host and page or tax query. So I've created traits for each of those. So each
We've
one is
lost segmented. Every non WordPress developer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It gets,
even some of the WordPress people.
So I have 100% at this point. I have 100% code coverage. I have I'm throwing exceptions on invalid types because so often WordPress has like type intersections, so array and string, and so I check that everything in the array is valid. And it's like, this could have been like a single file, maybe 500 lines, lots of commenting and been sufficient. But I had to take it well beyond that because there's no one telling me no. and it is, it's just absolutely ridiculous. When I'm done, I'm going to be like, is there a chance we can open source this? Not that I think the world needs it.
I was going to say, if you don't open source
this. The beauty of it is, what's that?
I was going to say, if you do not open source this, I am going to complain to the manager.
Yeah, I will. I might try. And if not, I'll pop in a private repo and share it. But don't tell anybody.
don't tell all of our listeners to Binary Jazz that you put it in a private repository and you're sharing it to individuals.
It's very much over the top. It's over, and I realize it, and that's okay. I'm fine with it. I'm actually at peace with it. And I'm, it's like a weird area of programming that we don't need at the moment, but whatever.
That is an interregnum, a weird area of programming that we don't need.
Is it? Yeah, it is. I was going to ask another question related to programming, but I think I've beaten that topic.
I mean, I can go back to other homebrew D&D rules that I've written recently, because it's more than just the stress system. I also built a mechanic over the weekend for managing resources that deplete over time.
Can I tell you the other dumb thing I did recently, since we're on a roll here? So Zoom on some computers has like these filters where you can like replace your head with an animal head, right?
Does it?
Okay, I don't have it on this computer.
Continue.
Yeah. I don't have this computer, but my work computer does. So I was in this call and someone popped in with that. It was like a big call with like some, I don't know, vice, whatever, big wig, big cheese or whatever. And he was answering questions from everybody in division department. I don't know. Like there are hundreds of people on there. Many of them, but it wasn't a webinar. It was still like a Zoom. And so, oh no, this is even more so. Like this, like I'll have to screenshot it, but like it replaces like background and everything. And you become, so I was a cow with a black hoodie. And then somebody talked about like, I don't know, like don't do that basically was the request. And they wrapped it in something, some reason why not to do that. So I bought a cow mask, like, you know, like the horse mask, I bought a cow one. So the next time we had a team meeting, I showed up in that cow mask and joined the meeting in that. So I was not using the filter, but I still got to be my cow. And now I'm just a cow fairly frequently. At the moment, the cow head is on my desk wearing the space helmet. Yes. That's the cow.
Well, this is just endless enjoyment is what this is.
So wait, right? But if I combine that, oh yeah, there we go.
Do you not want to go to every meeting like this now?
Yeah, definitely.
For those of you that are not watching video, Allison is now a raccoon in a purple shirt. Chris is a panda. Nope, a fox in a blue hoodie with the Aurora Borealis behind him. And the computer that I'm on won't let me do that. Maybe I need to update Zoom. That's probably what it is.
You probably need to update Zoom. Yeah.
But that's it's fun. So great because it blinks and like facial expressions, and I fully embody a cow when I'm on these calls. Yep. I also feel bad because everybody can still tell I'm yawning because the call is boring. That's the best part. Like, I'm sitting there and it looks like just suddenly the cow is yawning. So that's it. That's the bone you get. The world has thrown us a bone, and it is being virtual animals on Zoom while the world.
I'll take it.
Should we find out what the word is?
Yeah, I think we should probably find out what the word is.
It is a period of discontinuity or a gap in government, organization, or a social order.
Oh, Christ, that's unsettling.
So in Latin, it means between rain.
Between rain?
Like R-E.
Yeah.
I-G-N. Oh, between rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeesh.
We have questions.
Oh, all right. Well, it's two questions.
Go ahead. No, no.
I was just going to say I'm scheduled to go to Florida on Thursday.
Oh.
With the kids. And I've transitioned from, like, in the last few months from, like, oh, it'll be nice to go back to the old stomping grounds. Grounds? You know what I mean. Grounds. To, like, I don't want to.
That's Florida.
It didn't use. Maybe it did. It didn't used to be. It didn't used to be. No, it didn't used to be.
It did. It did.
I did. No.
You just lived there.
No.
Okay. So first of all, I got an email. We got an email recently from Michael Stevenson.
Ah.
And this says, "Hi. Can I write an article for your website for business leaders and managers?"
No. What business leader and manager is coming to our website?
I mean, somebody I would work with.
They're not leading very well.
Yeah. It would be on top strategies for improving interdepartmental communication and collaboration. I'll cover common failure points and strategies for improvement.
Problem that is for us.
If you think an article on this topic would be of interest to your site visitors, please let me know. Thank you for your consideration. So, yes, you heard the answer, Michael. We only respond in video form. The answer.
The Allison department wants to talk more to the Gary and Chris department.
Yeah, yeah. Interdepartmental communication.
Are there Allison questions?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I was.
I can't remember if I actually submitted any.
It's
been a little bit of a while.
Yes, so we'll go. Yeah, there's two. I have an answer to one, so we're gonna do that one. I'm not sure about the other one.
Did you just swap into a cow on the fly?
It wasn't exactly on the fly. It took a few minutes, but yes, I did just swap into a flow. A cow. What sensation or sense brings you right back to another memory, almost another time and place and feeling? What is that memory or experience?
Oh, spike it. We're going to finish the show with this topic. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes. So my answer to that question is the entire album by Underworld, Dub No Bass with My Headman. And what this album does to my brain is I associate it with, so there was, I think it was spring break after Aaron and I first got together. We were, I think at that point, pretty much officially done with our other relationships. We had like severed ties. Things were like a little bit like we were done. And I went home. And it was the first time that I had been home in the Bay Area without my ex. And I was doing at the time I had just finished Impact Personal Safety in Southern California men's class. And I was taking a men's class in the Bay Area Model Mudding, which is the same program, just a different name, and doing class there over the break. And she... Aaron drove out to meet me at some point. I think actually it was her ex who drove out and dropped her off somewhere. And then he went off to stay in a commune or something for a week. And we just hung out for, you know, a week. And so that album went, and I, you know, drove around San Francisco and we went all to the places. We went up to Haight-Ashbury and went to Amoeba Records, where I found that album. And I have, like, I listened to that album now, and I have, like, this feeling of where we were at that time as our relationship was, like, really kind of getting more serious, and just driving through San Francisco with that sort of yeah, sensation and like the beginnings of things. Yeah. Thanks. That is mine.
Thanks for sharing that.
I also love that it's a whole album. I feel like that's such a, like,
yeah, it's not just the one song.
Yeah, I like that it's like an open to end album. Like, that's nice.
Yeah, because Carrie, it was just,
take it,
was
it away.
Like, we were just listening to it on sort of repeat, and so like I can't. It's not a single song. It's like the whole thing. Anything is gonna take me back there. Yeah.
I in high school was in marching band, it was like one of the first like big things I did in my life was like, you know, being in marching band. Like, prior to that, I'd been young, but you know, we did this like, this band competition, which is so fantastically nerdy. But we, like, as a band that had never participated, we were the first band on. So at like 8 o'clock in the morning, we were the first band. And it was in the old stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, like the Georgia Dome. And so our warm-up time, I guess, was like 2 hours before or 3 hours before or something. So we had to be at the Georgia Dome at 6 a.m. or something like that. And the buses, of course, had to drive and drop us off. So the smell of diesel is different in different temperatures, you know, like, but like in the low 70s, there's the way diesel just, I mean, from like the diesel exhaust, like, I don't mean like snorting diesel or something, but like, that feeling of like being part of something bigger, just kind of floods into my body whenever I catch a whiff of like diesel at that temperature, diesel exhaust at that temperature. And it is just like this like reminder that seems to pop up from time to time that it's always about us. Like, there's an us that I need to pay attention to, you know? I don't know. That's one I actually like wouldn't mind bumping into in the next few days. I feel better.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.